Reading from John 14, verse 15 to 18. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. John 17, 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundations of the world. 1 Corinthians 15, 21 to 22. For as by a man came death, by a man has also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And lastly, John 3:16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Stephanie, for reading the Bible for us so well this morning. I do see a few new faces among us. My name is Z. I'm the lead pastor here at One Covenant Church. If I've not yet met you, please do stay behind. We'd love to get to know you after the service. Congratulations to all those of you who are baptized and received into the membership of the church. So good to see how the Lord has been working in so many different hearts. I'll be doing something slightly different today. Usually in our church, we take a book of the Bible, break it down into its component parts, and work through passages. We call that expository preaching. Next week, we'll be starting a new series in 1 Timothy, so you want to get ready for that. Pastor Joel will be opening up 1 Timothy chapter 1 for us. But for today, for the last Sunday of the year, I'm going to do something a bit different. I'm going to gather together different passages in the Bible to give us a simple framework so that we can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a deeply biblical, but also a very profoundly personal way. Now, this is not unique to me. It is a framework that was developed by a UK evangelist by the name of Glenn Shrivener. Now, there are two reasons why we're doing this. Number one, I want you to hear the gospel afresh. You see, friends, even if we are mature Christians, we need to hear the gospel over and over again. It's not just non-Christians who need the gospel. All of us need the gospel. The gospel is not the ABCs of the Christian faith. It's the A to Z. We need to come back to the gospel over and over again. It's the way we grow in maturity. Now, after some time, when we use the same words and the same pictures, the gospel becomes a little dull to us. And sometimes we need fresh ways to understand the gospel. So number one, we're doing this because we all need the gospel afresh for our hearts and for our lives. But secondly, I want to give you a tool to be able to share the gospel to others in a clear and beautiful way. You see, God has given all of us the task of going out with the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, that task is not easy. If it's easy, if you find sharing the gospel easy, please talk to me. I'd love you to pray for me after that, because I find it hard to share the gospel. All of us need tools to be able to share the gospel. And I hope to present to you a tool that is flexible enough to share the gospel in 4 minutes using a little track, or in 34 minutes, like in the sermon that I'm about to preach, or over 4 sessions, which is a course that we are planning to run sometime in April. Now, we want to put together a team for that. And so this is a little teaser to get you to 11th of Jan. So 2 reasons, friends. I want you to listen with 2 ears. Number one, listen to the gospel for yourself and for your own heart afresh. You might not be a Christian. You might be exploring the Christian faith. Well, friends, you are here at the right time, in the right place. God has brought you here. You're going to hear about Jesus. And friends, for us who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for many, many years, may the good news of the gospel burn afresh in our hearts. Join with me in a word of prayer as we seek God's help to understand his word this morning. Father, we thank you that this is your word. And as we work through it, we pray that you would open our eyes to wondrous truths. come near to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And some of you know I'm doing a Doctor of Ministry in the US. And last year, during my sabbatical year, I took a course on the Trinity. And in my reading, I came across something that literally blew my mind. You guys know that emoticon where the brains are kind of blasted? That's kind of what happened to me. I read something that blew my mind. Now, some of you will know the name Leslie Newbegin. Leslie Newbegin was one of the most influential missiologists of the 20th century. He spent most of his life in India sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in that context. When he retired and returned to England, I think he was in the 70s or 80s, he realized that the UK had become so secular that the methods and the ideas that he developed on the mission field, he would have to use those same methods in the UK to communicate the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this is what blew my mind. In 1995, Leslie Newbegin was invited to give a series of public lectures to introduce the Christian faith. This is in 1995. And as the first lecture, he chose the topic, God, the Holy Trinity. God, the Holy Trinity. Now, the Trinity is a Christian belief that God is one, but he exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He didn't choose to talk about sin. He didn't choose to talk about forgiveness. He didn't even choose to talk about meaning and purpose. Leslie Newbegin, who had spent his entire life trying to communicate the good news of Jesus to people who were far from God, who had no idea who this God is, began with God, the Holy Trinity. It blew my mind. And then my mind went to the Athanasian Creed. I'm a Presbyterian, so we love creeds. Okay. Now, what is the Athanasian Creed? The Athanasian Creed is one of three ecumenical creeds, along with the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed. Whether you're a Protestant or Catholic, you embrace this creed as a summary of what we believe. And the Athanasian Creed says this: to have true faith, it means that you worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Another thing that blew my mind. Athanasian's Creed basically says, without the Trinity, you do not have true saving faith. And then I read Matthew 28:19 with fresh eyes. Matthew 28:19. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To go out in the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to represent the Trinity and to proclaim the Trinity. Boosh. I realized that when Jesus sent his people into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, he sent them out in the name of the Trinity, to proclaim the Trinity, to proclaim Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You see, friends, Leslie Newbegin believed that you could not accurately and compellingly communicate what Jesus has done apart from the Father and apart from the Spirit. Yes, Jesus came to live a perfect life, die on the cross for our sins, and to rise again that we might be saved. But it is the Father who sent Jesus to reconcile people to himself, and it is the Holy Spirit who takes what Jesus has done and makes it real to human hearts and continues to make it real to human hearts. We cannot truly understand the gospel of Jesus Christ apart from understanding the work of the Father, yes, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I began to see, friends, this very simple truth, that the Trinity was both essential to our faith, but also essential to the sharing of faith. It's not an embarrassing truth that we have to try to kind of change the topic when it comes up. No, friends, to put it front and center is to make what Jesus Christ has done for us both clear and beautiful. And that's what I want you to experience this morning. Here's another simple truth, friends. You might not be able to explain everything about the Trinity. You can. Love to talk to you after the service. Please pray for me. But with the Trinity, you will be able to explain everything that truly matters. You might not be able to explain everything about the Trinity, but with the Trinity, you'll be able to explain everything that truly matters. Let me give you two examples. You will be able to explain that God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Do you realize that the Bible doesn't just say that God loves, but he is love in his very being? You see, a solitary God might love, but he cannot be love. He has to create something else to love. Our Bible tells us that God is love. He is love in his very being, which means, friends, at the center of the universe is love. Why do we long to be loved? And why do we dread to be lonely? Because we are made in the image of a God who is love in his very being. And so when he loves, it is an outflow of who he truly is. It's not a meanie who just pretends to love you. He is love. And therefore, when he loves, he's expressing who he truly is. You'll be able to explain with the Trinity that salvation, yes, it is the forgiveness of sins, but more than that, salvation is a Father who has done everything to reconcile you to himself because he has infinitely loved you and he's infinitely for you. You might not be able to explain everything with the Trinity, but without the Trinity, but with the Trinity, you'll be able to explain everything that truly matters. And friends, let me put it before you that that is what makes the good news of Jesus Christ both clear and beautiful, both deeply biblical and profoundly personal. But how do we do that, friends? Well, friends, it's by seeing and saying three things. Number one, God is a loving union of three. Number two, the world is shaped by two representatives. And number three, you're born one with Adam, but you can be one with Christ by faith. This is the story of God, the world, and you in 3, 2, 1. Number one, God is a loving union of three. Now, friends, how do we know what God is like? Well, Jesus says in John chapter 14, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The way that we know what God is like is when we see Jesus. He is the image of God. He's the exact representation of who God is. And so as we look at Jesus through the Bible, what do we see? Jesus himself shows us that God is a loving union of three. In John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, that Stephanie just read for us, he is preparing his followers for his death. And so he says to them, I will ask the Father, and he will give you not just a helper, but another helper to be with you. You have the Son, Jesus Christ, praying to the Father. The Holy Spirit is with the Father. And he's saying to the Father, give my people another helper, the Holy Spirit. So here, as you look at Jesus, he shows you God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. He shows us God is a loving union of three. And then in John 17, 24, the second passage that was read for us, Jesus prays, Father, you have loved me from before the foundation of the world. Friends, let that sink in for a moment. Before the creation of the world, before there was anything else, there was the Father loving the Son with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Before there was the world, before anything was created, there was the Father loving the Son in the joy of the Holy Spirit. When we look at Jesus, friends, you see God for who he truly is. He is a loving union of three, Father, Son, and Spirit. Which means, friends, that at the very heart of all that there is, before anything else was created, there was love. And there was life. And there was light. And friends, this explains everything. This explains to us that when God created, he didn't do so out of need. He didn't do so out of loneliness. He created and he made us to share his love, his life, and his light. God is self-sustaining, and yet he chooses to create and to make us that we might share his love, we might share his life, and we might share his light. Once again, that's why there's a longing for love in every human heart. And there is a great despair when we are lonely. There isn't just mental health issues associated with loneliness. There are real physiological diseases associated with loneliness. Why, friends? Because at the very heart of the universe, the one who made us and the one who loves us is Father, Son, and Spirit. And he has made us to share in that love, in that life, and in that light. And that, my friends, is the purpose of your life and my life. Do you realize that in John 17:24, besides telling us that before the foundation of the world, the Father has loved the Son, Jesus also says this. Look at John 17:24. I desire that they, my people, also be with me where I am. Another thing that blows the mind. In John 15:9, Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you, my children. As the Father has loved me from before the foundation of the world in this eternal life of love, Jesus says, I have loved you. That's the kind of love that I bring to you. And Jesus says, where I am, in this place of love with the Father and the Spirit, that is where I want you to be. And friends, this is what makes the gospel not just clear, but beautiful. You see, it's not just about getting some sins forgiven. It's not just about living a moral life. It's about coming into this relationship of eternal life and love and hope and light. It is joy to the full and joy unexplainable. That is the goal of creation, and that is the goal for which Jesus has come into the world. You see, we need to answer the question, if we are made for love, for life and for light, why is it that as we live here on earth, we don't always have love, we don't always have life, we don't always have light? We have disconnection, we have death, and we have darkness. Right or not? Right or not? Right? Okay, correct, right? Why is it? Well, because Jesus explains to us the second point, that the world is shaped by two representatives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 to 22, it says this, for as by a man came death, but by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. The Bible begins with the story of Adam, the first human being. Adam's name literally means humanity, and Adam is a representative of us all. God made Adam to live in God's love, to live in God's life, to live in God's light. But instead of trusting God, he turned away from God and chose to live life on his own terms. Now, friends, this is what the Bible calls sin. You see, friends, the Bible speaks of sin not merely in judicial terms, but in relational terms. Sin isn't just breaking some rules. Sin is turning away from the God who made you and infinitely loves you and is the source of love, life, and light. I used to tell this story in the early days of the church when my children were a bit younger, but I think most of you have not heard this story. Caitlin, my older one, when she was about 3 or 4, she was playing with a teddy bear, and then she had a plastic bag with her. Some of you have heard this story. And she took that teddy bear and she put it into the plastic bag and she tied it up. The good father that I am, I thought to myself, this is a great opportunity to teach her about oxygen. So I said to my daughter, Caitlin, I think she was 3 or 4 at the time, Caitlin, if you put the teddy bear into the plastic bag and you tie it up, how is the bear going to breathe? My 4-year-old looked at me and she said to me, Papa, it's a teddy bear. It doesn't need to breathe. You see, friends, a teddy bear doesn't need to breathe. But you and I need to breathe. You and I need love, need life, need light. And when we cut ourselves off from the source of life, the source of love, the source of light, that's why you experience darkness, disconnection, and death. That is the story of sin, friends. Adam, the first human being, lived disconnected from God, and as a result brought death and darkness and a curse upon the entire world. And friends, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't just inherit Adam's condition, we confirm his choice. We too, as descendants of Adam, make the same choice that Adam made. We continue to live life on our terms, in our way, instead of trusting in the God who is life and light. We turn from God, and that is what the Bible calls sin. But yet, God in his goodness didn't just leave us in Adam. He sent us another Adam. We deserve death. We deserve judgment. that God sent a second Adam, a second representative. Once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 21 and 22, by a man came death, but by another man came the resurrection of the dead. As in Adam all die, also in Christ, all who have faith in him shall be made alive. Adam brought us under the curse. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, came to earth to be the second representative that brings us life. Again, friends, purely out of his love for us, God the Father, on Christmas Day, sent the Son to enter our world and take on flesh, to take on humanity, to be connected to us in the deepest way possible. And what did Jesus do? He lived the life that we should have lived. He was perfect in every way, the way that we should have lived, in life, in love, in light. And yet on Good Friday, he died the shameful death that you and I should have died. He deserved only light, but he took darkness upon himself. He deserved life, but he took death. Why, my friends? Because Jesus is the second Adam. The first Adam brought a curse upon us. The second Adam, Jesus, through his sacrifice, brings blessing. He lived the life we should have lived, and he died the death we should have died. And then on Easter Sunday, he rose to new life. And he says to us, if you trusted me, this new life is yours as well. And that brings us to our last point. You were born one with Adam, but you can be one with Christ by faith. By birth, all of us inherit Adam's sin and Adam's curse and Adam's disconnection from God. But by faith, those of us who are one in Adam can be one with Christ. Galatians 3:26 says this, in Christ, you are all sons of God through faith. What brings us into unity with Christ, into oneness with Christ, is faith, is to trust in him. And in the most famous Bible verse in all of history, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. To believe is to trust, and to trust is to lean on Jesus. And when you do, you become one with Jesus. You see, when a couple comes together in marriage, they bring together everything, their assets, their liabilities, and their families. The two become one. When it comes to Jesus, you and I only ever bring our liabilities. When it comes to oneness with Jesus, we bring no assets. We bring only our liabilities. And Jesus brings only his riches and his assets for us. We bring our sin. We bring our shame. We bring our failures. And there are many. He comes to us and he gives us his righteousness. He gives us his honor. And he gives us his life. And he gives us his love. When we come by faith to Jesus, we bring all the liabilities. And he brings all the assets. Not only do we share all of his liabilities, we share his family. When we become one with Jesus, his Father becomes our Father. And his Holy Spirit becomes our Holy Spirit, our helper. And the church, Hebrews 2 says, all who have believed in Jesus Christ, Jesus calls them brothers and sisters. The church, fellow Christians, becomes our family. They are his family, but they become ours. By faith, we become one with Jesus. And all that Jesus has done for us and meant for us becomes ours. When Jesus sees us, he sees us as one with Christ. And that is the gift of salvation. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life, underline that word, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Another story from my daughter. Is that okay? I have her permission. Again, when she was very young, she was learning about shapes. And so she decided to draw a circle and use a pair of scissors and try to cut that little circle out. And she's 3 or 4, the scissors were blunt. And so halfway through, she cuts off about a quarter of that circle. And so she comes with this not quite circle. And she comes to me and she says to me as a 3 or 4 year old, "Papa, it's not quite a circle. Papa, it's not quite a circle." Now, two things were going on in my mind. Number one, who talks like that? It's not quite a circle. I mean, who talks like that anyway? It's not quite a circle. This is a 3 or 4 year old. But the second thing in my heart was just deep love for her. So I can't do this anymore because she's taller than me. At that point in time, I knelt down and I looked in her eyes, holding that circle, and I said, "Caitlin, this is the most beautiful circle I have ever seen." You see, friends, when you have faith in Jesus and you are united with Him, that is how the Father sees you. He doesn't see your sin. He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see your screw-ups. He sees Jesus, His righteousness. He sees Jesus. And friends, that is the gift of salvation. Do you see, friends, that salvation is more than just having our sins forgiven? Yes, it is having our sins forgiven. But to have our sins forgiven is God the Father sending Jesus to remove every obstacle possible so that you can come home to Him and enjoy this life of love and light. And that is salvation, my friends. That is what makes the gospel not just clear, but beautiful. And remember this, friends. Jesus did this for us, not because we are worthy, but because He is worthy. None of us deserve this. None of us can say, "I know more," or "I am more moral," or "I am just better looking to receive this." All of us come knowing that it is a free gift. Now, when you were given gifts at Christmas, what must you do with that gift to make it yours? You need to open the wrapper and receive it. Some gifts you like, some you don't. You can donate it to the church, right? You need to open the wrapper and you need to receive the gift. So what is your response, friends, to this free gift of eternal life that Jesus gives? This free gift of eternal life that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit has presented to you. What is your response? Well, friends, I hope your response will be one of faith. You see, friends, faith is more than just agreeing with facts. Faith is entrusting yourself to Jesus. You see, you can know that a chair will hold you, but you only trust in that chair when you sit in it. In the same way, friends, you can hear all of these things and know something of the truth of these things, but unless you lean your weight on Jesus, unless you trust in Him, this gift remains outside. It is not yours. And yet, friends, when you do believe in Jesus, when you do lean on Him, as some of us have shared in their testimonies today, the promise of God's Word and the promise of the Father, Son, and Spirit is that you become one with Him. And when you become one with Him, His Father becomes your Father. His Spirit becomes your helper. You turn from Adam's selfish ways and you begin to live in Jesus' way of love. And you join the family of God, the church. This becomes your family because it is Jesus' family, and this is the place that you call home. And the question really is, friends, is this something that you want for yourself? How do you entrust yourself to Jesus? In a moment, there's going to be a prayer that appears on the screen. I want to be very careful here. This prayer is not magic. This prayer might just be an expression of what's happening in your heart because God, the Holy Spirit, is at work. You see, friends, to place your faith in Jesus, to entrust yourself to God, you simply need to talk to God and tell Him what is on your heart, what you want to do. In a moment, we're going to be reading this prayer together. And as you read it, if it's something that expresses what's on your heart, we're going to take a moment of silence after that. And you can do business with God. You can pray to God and you can say to Him what's on your heart. My friends, once again, let's be clear. This prayer is not magic. This is not what gets you united with Christ. It's trusting in Jesus. And that's what gets you united with Christ. But this prayer is a tool that might, like the Psalms, it might help you express what's on your heart. So can we do that together, friends? Can we read this together? And then we take a moment, and perhaps some of us want to respond to God for the very first time in this prayer. Let's read it together, friends. Dear Father, thank you for your love. I'm sorry for my selfishness and sin. Thank you that Jesus lived my life and died my death. Thank you that He rose again. I want His new life, His new direction, and His family, the church. Give me His Spirit and help me to walk with Jesus through this life and into eternity. Amen.